Let us this day celebrate brotherhood. Let us this day celebrate sisterhood. Let us this day celebrate fellowship in Christ. Let us this day celebrate reconciliation with man and with God. Let us this day celebrate the fatherhood of God, in whom brotherhood, sisterhood, fellowship, and reconciliation are all possible. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down upon the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life evermore. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity.
Thank you.
In Christ there is no east or west, in him no north or south. Neither Jew or Greek, neither slave or free, neither male nor female. I welcome to join me in leadership of our worship this morning, Ms. Shigemi Hata, Mr. Aldine Horton, and Mrs. Wanda William K. Neely. Neither American or Japanese, neither white or black, neither man or woman. As Christians, they will speak to us of their own impressions of brotherhood.
We are all children of God. There is no east or west. There is no black, white, or yellow. There is no religious hindrance, religious systems. Without these hindrances, only God is acting in the world. He revealed himself in Jesus Christ, and he is present in the Holy Spirit now. The Holy Spirit is working throughout the world, sometimes through a child, crying child for peace, a person who prays and seeks God, and a person who sincerely loves God, and a person who has the light, who has the right to determine the peace with prayer. Whenever the East and West meet under God, the Holy Spirit washes away the hatred between persons whose nation fought before and changes it to love and sympathizes with sin of human beings. Not only this, but also the Holy Spirit let them pray for each nation to be led by God's guidance. Whenever God's children meet each other, they feel some feeling of friendship, fellowship, and also God's guidance. Getting to know each other more, we really know God acted in others, and he's acting each of our hearts, each of your hearts. The Holy Spirit does not limit us to love only Christians, but also believers in other religions or adherents of other some ideologies. As far as human beings have religious conscience, as far as human beings seek God, we should not forgive, we should not give up loving our brothers in the world. We will trust in God, and by the love of Jesus Christ, we will open our hearts to communicate with our brothers in the whole world. As far as God is acting, there is hope. As far as we commit ourselves to Jesus Christ and we follow God's will, there is hope. This is not our will, but this is God's will.
To many of you,
I may appear to be different from you, but I'm not. Each of us has desires which are in common with those desires of other persons. Some of those desires are for housing, education, employment, and marriage. This being true, there should be a brotherhood of love which enables each person to reach the heights of his potentiality without regards to what he may appear to be. If brotherhood exists, any person should be allowed to live in any home that his money will buy. If brotherhood exists, a person's educational level should be determined by his mental capacity instead of the color of his skin. If brotherhood exists, a person's skin color should not be the factor which determines how well he can provide for his family's needs. If a person desires to marry, that person should not be intimidated by other persons because between he and his mate, there are innate differences. The church should have been first to recognize the equality of men. Instead, the church has sit back in its religious piety saying, "We ain't ready." We ain't ready for what? Is the church not ready to unite the body of Christ? This brotherly love should have begun in the church because the doctrine of monotheism stands or falls on the doctrine of the brotherhood of man. In other words, if all men, black men, white men, Jews and Gentiles alike, did not derive from the same source, then the teachings of one God is fallible.
I would like to ask of you a riddle. A man and his son, going on a trip, were involved in a serious automobile accident. The father was instantly killed and the son critically injured. The young boy was rushed to a hospital and prepared for emergency surgery. As the boy was being taken into the operating room, the doctor on duty appeared, looked at the patient, and said, "I'm sorry, but I cannot operate on my own son." Now my question to you is this: discounting adoption and reincarnation, how could this be? We are all guilty at times of operating in unconscious mindsets. In a week where we want to emphasize similarities, allow me for a few minutes to talk about differences. Just recently, I've become aware personally of a mindset of my own. In my last semester of 6.5 years of theological studies, I had been, up to just recently, feeling pretty theological. Now I wonder if I should start all over again. What I realized is this: I think like a man. My theology is a man's theology. I've spent 6.5 years working through a man's theology. In my coursework toward a BA in religion, and now in Masters of Divinity, not once have I had a female professor. But still, if I had, she would most likely have been like the rest of us, brainwashed and mindset in masculine theology. My challenge in terms of sisterhood for this week of emphasis is not to ask you to let women into theology. They're already here. My request is this: now that they're here, don't try to make women deal with theology like men. What's the difference? Valerie Goldstein gives an example. She suggested that major theological emphasis upon pride as a condition for human sin reflects the traditional nature of male existence as embodying aggressiveness and power. False pride and the temptation to misuse power thus create the masculine condition for sinfulness, and the theological plea is for greater humility and less confidence in one's own resources. But the situation is different for women. The nature of feminine existence has traditionally been more passive and self-denying. Yet the theological plea has emphasized even greater humility and self-denial. Few, if any, have recognized that too little pride, rather than too much pride, may be the condition of feminine sinfulness. Goldstein wrote this 13 years ago. A lot has happened to women in the past 13 years. Women have gained some pride in their role in the secular world. But how about in theology? Well, what's still at one of our key resources for approaching the doctrines of man and sin? Reinhold Niebuhr and his concept of pride. It's been admitted for a good while now that the church, more than any other institution of society, treats its own professionally trained women, its feminine Christian educators and ministers, as second-class citizens. Some moves have been made toward remedying this totally unchristian situation. But for the sake of not discriminating, let's not be victims of a mindset. Let's not expect, or better still, let's not let, women theologians simply echo a theology written by males and reflecting masculine experience. The responsibility for this falls on both sexes, and maybe this female, along with some others, had better start working through her own theology again.
In Christ, there is no east or west, in him no north or south. But the ramifications are even more extensive than we have thus far recognized. Neither student nor professor, neither faculty nor administration, neither theologian or historian, neither minister nor layman, neither old or young. 28 years ago in 1945 it was, in Tientsin, China, the United States Marine Corps had landed to bring to a close World War II. I was an American chaplain. My first effort was to locate a church or any evidence of Christianity. I had ridden for almost a half a day in a rickshaw, simply exploring, looking. And I passed what seemed to be a clue. A store window with many books displayed in them, obviously a Chinese bookshop. The clue simply that in the middle of all these books, there upon a table was displayed a Chinese book that was open. My hope that it might be a religious or even a Bible bookshop. So I went to the door to find it locked. I knocked, no response, and knocked again, still no response. The third time, and as I turned to look elsewhere, the door opened just a crack, and I looked in to see no one there until, as I looked down, I discovered that there was a lad, 8, 9, 10 years old. And as I looked into his face, I saw fear as I have rarely seen it. Fright, distress. It was obvious that the military and the uniform had not been kind to him and to his. I pushed the door open, wanting to find some relationship here. And he backed away from me, still more frightened. Backed across the room, obviously not knowing what to do, until he saw on the collar of my shirt the emblem of chaplaincy, the cross. 28 years has not erased even the smallest part of my recollection of his face or his expression or his action. For as the light pushes aside darkness, so his recognition of the cross set aside every indication of distress or fear. And he came smiling and literally leaping to embrace me. He jumped and grabbed me around the neck. And as he jumped, he pointed at my cross and pointed at himself and nodded to me to say, "I too have faith in the cross." Brotherhood, sisterhood, fellowship, reconciliation in Christ. For this we search today. May we pause in a time of meditation and search in our own hearts the answers for brotherhood, using as a scriptural basis for our meditation in the silence of the moment, responsive reading number 72. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God.